But anyway, it's good to be back. And you know what? Yeah, pastors and I, we just really had it in our hearts that we needed to do a financial freedom seminar, not just one day, but several days. The Lord's taught me a lot through the years. Brother, the late Kenneth E. Hagin, he pulled me aside a couple different times before he went to heaven. And he said, Larry, he said, you're anointed to teach the subject of financial freedom. He said, I want to encourage you to do so. And even in some of his big crusades, he would have me teach one service or a couple services on the subject. And it just encouraged me because I knew I had heard from the Lord. I had heard from heaven that that was part of the call of my life to the body of Christ. But then to have your spiritual father tell you that he's heard from heaven and that he's confirming what I'd heard from heaven just really, really helps you, you know. So I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. I don't get to be with my daughter like some of you do, but then there's probably a number of you that don't get to be with your daughters as well, or your sons. But happy Father's Day, and let's all just lift our hands right now and say to our Heavenly Father, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. So we're gonna teach on the subject of finance out of the Bible. I grew up in church not wanting to hear anything out of the pulpit on the subject of money because I thought the preacher was just trying to line his pockets. And so, you know, don't you talk to me about money. But then when I finally started reading the Bible for myself, I may have shared this one time, but I went through the whole scriptures in a two-year period. I didn't actually finish the whole Bible, but I went through a lot of scriptures in that two-year period. I wanted to see what God had to say about money. I thought, well, he created it. So he's probably wiser than everybody else, you know. I mean, more wisdom, more understanding about gold, silver, cattle on a thousand hills, jobs, everything else. So I went through the scriptures, and I personally, during that two-year study, I studied out 1,492 references in scripture on the subject of money. I'd been told there was over 2,000. I've studied more since then, so I quit adding up after I got to that amount. But when I saw there were, when I studied out 1,492 references, I realized, man, we've been hoodwinked in the body of Christ. Most of the body of Christ doesn't know that God has a lot to say about it, and it's not bad things, it's actually good things. And so we're going to be looking this week, you know, Financial Freedom Seminar, you could do the natural side. I may touch on things as we go just here and there if the Holy Ghost leads me. But even though you're doing the natural, and I've done a lot of the natural, but it's always being led by the Spirit. You know, I've bought and sold vehicles. I've bought and sold houses and real estate. I've bought and sold art. I've bought and sold numerous things that's made my wife and I financially free. And that's made our ministry financially free. Our two-story office complex in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma is paid for. The vehicles at the ministry are paid for. Our house is paid for. Our vehicles, we have no debt in our lives because of the principles of the Word of God that we put to practice in our lives through the years. And so I'm going to share some different things as we go along this week, but I'm going to really go on more of the God side of finance rather than the natural side of telling you, you know, don't charge up your credit cards if you can't pay them off. You know, there's a lot of natural things that if you do the natural side of the seminar that you have to cover for people because people just don't use their money wisely. But we're going to go on the God side because I found out even people that do the natural side, maybe like me where you've bought and sold and different things and you're investing and all that stuff, you're doing things to increase your money. But if you don't have the God side down, I'm telling you what, God's blessings aren't going to be on it and it's going to ruin you. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, the prosperity of fools destroy them. So we don't want that. So we're going to see some things that God has to say. But as I was praying, because, you know, I could do a two-week seminar, and I've got so much content on what God showed me to subject that, you know, you'd still need more, a couple more weeks after that to keep going. So I've asked the Lord, Lord, show me, give me direction for RLCC. You know what they need to hear, what's going to help them the most, what's going to cause their future financial realm to be abundantly blessed so that all of your needs, wants, and desires are completely met and you have plenty left over to be a blessing to others. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So the Lord's really given me some specifics, which I'm really excited because I've never, these four things that the way the Lord told me to put it together, I've never done this before, so it's really cool. He must really love you guys. Yeah, you know he does. Come on now. Amen. And so let's open our Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. And this morning, tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, I'm going to be taking you through some things. I think it's going to bring great light, great revelation. You're probably going to hear some things you haven't heard before. Those of us that have heard them before, it's going to reinforce the things. The Apostle Peter said it this way, as long as I am in this tabernacle, or in the body, in other words, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So no matter how much we've heard, we still need to be stirred up concerning what the Word of God says. We need to be put in remembrance. Faith comes by what? And faith leaves by not hearing. Amen. So give us this day our daily bread. Man can't live by natural food alone. We all eat natural food every day, but you need to be eating spiritual food, the supernatural food that's going to give you real life. You know, when Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that life more abundant, he wasn't just talking spiritually. He was talking spiritually, physically, financially. I mean, I got attacked yesterday with some kind of cold symptoms on my body, and I thought, devil, you're such a liar. You don't want me to preach here at RLCC, but the devil's never stopped me from preaching. I've been preaching since 1980. He's never stopped me from preaching. He never will stop me from preaching. Glory to God. So we're going to hear some good things. And, you know, the next 12 months and the next 24 months going to be the best months of our lives. Have more finances coming to us than ever before. Being able to give more. This is what my wife and I do every year. We give more into the kingdom every year than we did the previous year. And that should be your heart's desire. If you have a heart for souls, then God's going to make sure you're financially blessed so that you can own the house you want and have the cars without loans that you want and be really blessed. So let's start here in Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, brethren, and by the way, that word brethren is talking about child of God, so it's not indicative of male. It's male and female. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Everybody say, bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Everybody say, bear my own burden. Let him who is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? We shall reap if we don't faint. As we therefore have opportunity, everybody say opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. So God gives us opportunities. He gives us opportunities in the spirit realm. And then because we follow those opportunities, obey what the word says in our finances, then he opens up opportunities in the natural realm, business, investments, buying and selling, doing things like that. So my wife and I are always listening, following the Lord of God, the will of God. In fact, the Lord just showed us a new business to get in here just real recently that's going to be a tremendous blessing to us. So we're always wanting to do what God tells us to do with our money, but we've got to make sure that we're covering God's side first. What did God say in the Bible, how to handle the money and what to do with it? So I noticed when I read this passage, two verses stood out to me. Verse 2 that I had you quote, bear ye one another's burdens. So that stood out to me. And then I saw verse 5, every man shall bear his own burden. And then I was confused. I thought, wait a minute now. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. And then it says, bear your own burden. I thought, wait a minute, we're mixed up here. We're confused here. Some contradiction's going on here or something. Because if we're bearing each other's burdens, meaning you're bearing mine and I'm bearing yours, if we're bearing each other's burdens, then we couldn't bear our own burden because you're bearing my burden. How could I bear my burden if you're bearing my burden? How could you bear your burden if I'm bearing your burden? Don't ask me to say that again. So I thought to myself, Lord, what's going on here? You said bear each other's burdens, which means if we're doing that, we don't need to bear our own. So I looked up the word. Of course, I love to study the Greek, and I got out my Greek concordance and was looking at the word burdens here. And noticed that we had two different Greek words used in both verses. So I looked at verse 2. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. That's actually the Greek word baros. And it means to go down under a load. To go down under a load. And so bear ye one another's burdens. Actually, if you look up the word bear, the Greek word means through the idea of removal. So in other words, you see a brother or sister in the Lord and they're just going through hell right now. Just, you know, hell's broke loose against them. They just seem weighed down. Things are tough on them right now. You see them being attacked. And so you come along and you lift them up. You speak the word and you encourage them and you help them get out of that thing. What have you done? You've, through the idea of removal, you've taken that weight off of them and you've bore their burden for them. Praise God. So I saw that. I'll say, okay, I understand that, Lord, bear you one another's burdens. But then you said, bear my own burden. So I looked up this word burden, and it's actually a word in the Greek language that's used in the shipping industry. It's the Greek word fortion, and it means a bill of lading or an invoice. Bear ye one another's burden, invoice. And so I thought, okay, so you're talking about something else here. You're not talking about being weighted down with cares and worries and problems. You're now saying that there's some kind of an invoice that I'm supposed to bear. In other words, it's my responsibility to do this for myself. This isn't me talking about me doing it for somebody else. So I thought, okay, Lord, bear ye one another's burdens. I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, well, you know the Bible wasn't written in verses, chapters or verses. So the next verse goes with that. And so I looked at it. I said, okay, bear ye one another's burdens. Let him who is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Bear ye one another's burdens. Let him who is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Now, first of all, you need to understand this is written, this letter and these verses are written to the church of Galatia and the church of Nanuet, right? And the church of Tulsa or wherever we're from. So this is written to the local church. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So if this is written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul to the church of Galatia, then it's written to our church as well. And when he says, let him who is taught the word, notice the word let, not make him. Let him, which means you're giving an opportunity here when somebody's letting you do something. Just like somebody let Liz and I recently join this new business I was talking about. And so let him, not make him, but let him who is taught in the word. And by the way, this word him is an individualized term in the Greek language. You know, back up in verse 2 when it said, bear ye one another's burdens, it's actually talking about all of us, you know, together. It's kind of a corporate thing. But then when he says, now you bear your own burden, he gets real specific. It's like he sat down next to you and said, you know, listen, now just a minute ago, I was talking to everybody, but right now I want you to know I'm talking to you. It's a real specific individualized term when it says let him. So it's talking to me individually, talking to you individually. And he says, let him who is taught the word. Now that gives us some insight as to the type of church that we should be attending, which is why you guys are at Redeeming Love. Redeeming Love has always been known as a church that preaches and teaches the word of truth, the gospel. Amen? And so this says, when you come to church, let him who is taught the word. So it lets us know what kind of church we're supposed to be going to. We're supposed to be going to a church that teaches the word of God. If they're teaching opinion and politics and all this other stuff, maybe we need to think about changing churches. We need to make sure we're going to a word-based church. So he says, let him who is taught the word communicate, and if you read the next verse, then you know the word communicate is talking about sowing, because the next verse says whatever you sow, right? So we do know in context the word communicate is talking about sowing. And he says, let him who is taught the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Interesting. It doesn't say let him who is taught the word wait till you've been taught the word a whole bunch more and then eventually sow something. Amen. It says, let him who's taught the word. One thing that Liz and I got a hold of many years ago, you know, we were already tithing. We already given to our church building fund, different things, you know, upkeep like Pastor Ed was talking about. And we were already supporting monthly partnerships, you know, different ministries out there that we supported monthly. We were doing that. But then God challenged us. We were in church one day, and our pastor got up. This was many years ago, and he got up, and he said, you know, don't let an offering bucket go by without putting something in. Now, I had no scripture for that. I couldn't say, well, you know, that's written in, and quote you scripture for it. But by the Holy Ghost, when our pastor said that, I just knew that what he just said was truth, that I need to do that. And my wife was sitting there, and we talked about it afterwards. She said, we need to do that. I said, yeah, I got the same thing. I said, the Holy Ghost confirmed to me that that was from God, and we need to do that. We need to make sure, you know, we may have paid our tithe last service or given an offering to the building fund last service, but this one, when we come and hear the word, we're going to sow. We're going to put something in. We'll just start where we're at. You know, we've already given our tithe, already given our offerings, so we'll just start where we're at, and whatever we can put in, we're always going to put something in. It's one thing that I taught my daughter, who is now almost 23 years old, and she's financially blessed. In fact, I'll give a quick testimony. You know, we've raised her tithing and giving, but I raised her teaching her every time you go to church, have some finance in your hand to give into that gospel so that that gospel isn't just for you, it's for others. So you're helping get it out. And she's always done that. Well, the Lord just blessed her and her husband. You know, you guys, we talked about me doing their ceremony last year. And so the end of last year, December 1st, they moved into their first home. Well, God really blessed them big time because they're following the footsteps of mom and dad. We challenged them when they moved away to, you're going to move into an apartment, but now believe God that within 6 months you can be out of that apartment and in your first home. So they put their faith out there, and sure enough, God showed them a home. It was a home that was a lot bigger than they thought they could afford. It was just a home exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. I mean, you know, your very first home, and it's over 3,000 square feet. I mean, this is a big home. And so they saw that it went into foreclosure. And this is after they saw the home. You know, they didn't know it was in foreclosure. They just saw the home, and they felt like God said, that's the home for you. And so then they found out it had gone into foreclosure. And so they waited, and they were ready to make a bid, and they found out that the bank was doing something. The bank, I guess, had tried to sell it, and they couldn't sell it. So the bank went in and put all new carpet, all new appliances, and all new paint, made it look like a brand new house, and then still couldn't sell it. And so they were just going to kind of put it out there on the auction block, so to speak. And my daughter and her husband, they put in a bid. Now, it was appraised at 190-some thousand by the bank, a low appraisal, and they bought it for 147. I thought, you outdid mom and dad. First of all, our first house was only 1,500 square feet, so they doubled up. And then we only had about 15,000 equity when we bought, and they have 50,000 equity. So that's pretty cool. Praise God. So that's just a testimony to the Lord if you obey him. You know, it says when you're taught the word, you're to communicate. The indication is every time I come to church I'm taught the word, I'm to communicate. So I'm going to put something in every time the offering bucket goes by. It's kind of like when you go, how many of you go out to eat? All right, so it looks like most of us love doing that. So we go out to eat. Let's just say today after church, you go to your favorite restaurant that maybe you've been to many times before. And you go, and let's just say you were there last night, and you were there the first part of the week. This may be your third time in a week going. And so you go there to eat, and you get the bill, and then you write a note on it, on the bill, I paid last time. Now, we're all laughing at that. Because, or you know what else you wouldn't do? You wouldn't take that bill and say, well, give this to somebody else. Let them take care of it. No, you're responsible for your own invoice, right? And just like this verse says, let him who is taught the word communicate. Why? Bear your own burden. Bear your own invoice. He was letting you know that something is being delivered to you, just like in the freight industry, something's delivered to you, and then because it's delivered to you, now you're responsible to put money into that and take care of it. So that's what he's saying. Let him who eats at McDonald's pay for his food. And if you eat at McDonald's 2 days in a row, the second day you can't tell them, well, I paid yesterday. Because they're going to say, yeah, but you ate today, so if you fed today, you paid today. Now, we all know, because we're spiritual enough, I don't think most of us are not baby Christians in here, we all know that you don't pay for the gospel. The gospel's free. But we know that what it does, it pays to get the gospel out. In other words, had there been no money come in, there would be no RLCC building like this. Which means we would not even be meeting here, which means the word of God would not be going forth from here. So that's where our money comes in, is it's to help get that food to other people. It's not about the buildings and all that stuff, but you know, it's amazing when you're preaching the gospel that it takes money to buy the building, to fix up the building. It takes money. You know, every time I fly someplace, the airlines, you know, they won't listen to me if I say, you know, don't charge me. I preach a free gospel. They still want their money. And, you know, when I go to Hertz and Avis and rent cars, you know, I can't say, well, I preach a free gospel, so I want a free car. Nope, they still want money. It takes money to get the gospel out. So it says, let him who is taught the word communicate to the one who's taught him. I love the Amplified version. The Amplified says this way, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. So we know that we're not paying for the gospel. We know the gospel's free, but we are paying to help get it out. You know, before I learned this passage here, and this I contribute this passage as to one of the keys that took Liz and I to the next level financially. Because we were tithing and we were giving, but all of a sudden when we started giving and every time we went to church, every time the word was taught, it just seemed like it launched us into the next realm. But I remember, and I'm going to have to tell off on myself because I've been a musician all my life. I started in third grade playing saxophone and then went up through all the way through college and was majoring in music and, you know, playing a lot of different instruments and all that stuff. But I was always, when I got into church, I was always a praise and worship leader. And so I remember because I had no understanding of giving, I was like the baby Christian that tries to get out of it. Anybody can relate to that? You know, I left my money at home or my checkbook, it's out in the car, I can't do anything or, you know, whatever. I try and get out of giving. And even I was a leader, but I used my leadership position to get out of giving. Let me explain, because I'm just stepping on my toes here. I'm just telling off. I don't, by the way, I don't do this anymore, so just so you know. But I mean, let's just say pastor's up there preaching, and then all of a sudden pastor starts receiving the tithes and offerings. Well, as the praise and worship leader, if I stay here on the seat, they're going to pass the bucket, and if I don't put something in, I'm going to look bad. So I just use my position. That's right, Pastor. Amen. And I was up here on the platform, and they didn't pass the buckets on the platform, so I was safe. Don't look at me that way. I'm just being honest with you. I'm beyond that now. I'm just saying this is where I was at. I would use my position. But let me tell you something. After I learned this and realized what I'd been doing, trying to run away from giving to God, as I would go from church to church and listen, this is my, even though I've been preaching since 1980, I've only been traveling ministry now for 32 years. But 32 years now, I've been out all over the world in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches. And I'm on the road from 40 to 45 weeks every year. And because I've been to so many churches, I started watching other people in the churches I was going to, because I wanted to see if they were doing what I did. So I started watching the praise and worship team. And I watched the ushers. And I watched the sound people and the camera people. I started watching people when it came time for tithes and offerings. And I started seeing many of them do the same thing that I had done. Oh, yeah. Using their position. Well, you know, I can't give. But then I started traveling with the late Kenneth E. Hagin. And you know what he did? He passed the buckets on the platform. And he'd be receiving the tithes and the offerings, and he'd even turn around and look at us singers on the platform. He'd say, "You guys got something to give?" Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I'm so glad that I got a hold of this principle, because that's when all heaven's blessings started flowing to me more, because I started seeing things. Of course, I'd gotten the revelation that when Jesus went to the cross, he not only made me righteous by receiving him, but he also made me rich. Just like he made me healthy, just like he made me full of peace and joy, I started seeing all these things that, wait a minute, if I try and work to get something that he did all the work for and already got it for, then I'm frustrating the grace of God. I'm falling from grace. It was by grace I got saved. It's by grace I get healed. It's by grace I get delivered. It's by grace that I prosper financially. It's all of that through faith in what Jesus did for us at the cross. Amen. So I saw, Lord, this is so good. I'm so glad and I remember when the Lord taught Liz and I this, let him who receives instruction sow. So every time I'm receiving instruction, whether it's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever, every time I'm coming to church and receiving the word of God, I'm going to sow an offering into that word. And man, it was just so cool the way then more and more opportunities started opening up, and the blessings of God started flowing more than they ever had before. Because we were just coming in line with more understanding, more light, more revelation. Knowing truth makes you free, right? So God says, so let him who receives instruction help us contribute to the support of the one that's teaching you. And then verse 7 says, don't be deceived. Everybody say, don't be deceived. Now let me remind you, the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. So, you know, verse 5, bear your own invoice. Let him taught the word, give or sow, and don't be deceived. All go together. Don't be deceived. Isn't that interesting that right after he got done saying, when you go to church, you have a responsibility to sow, and then he says, don't be deceived. Interesting. Tells me that we have an opportunity to be deceived, or he would not say that. Come on. So for him to say that, he's actually trying to give us a warning. Why? To keep our hearts right. Because if we're greedy, if we're thinking about, yeah, but I already am just barely making it. I can just barely make it by tithing. And now you're telling me to put something in every time I come to church. See, all you're doing is getting your eyes on self and on what you can do. And that frustrates the grace of God. That causes God's grace not to flow. You remember what God said in 1 Peter 5? He said, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So we've got to be willing to admit and sell out, it's all about you, Jesus. Come on. It's not about me. And as long as I have my focus and attention on me, I'm never going to be enough. I'm never going to have enough. I'm never going to be able to do enough. Why? Because it's just you trying to be strong in yourself and the power of your might. But God wants us to be strong in Him and the power of His might. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. So let him who has taught the word, but then he says, don't be deceived. And so when I read that, I thought, don't be deceived about what? About the previous verse. Don't be deceived about what I just said. In other words, well, what did he just say? He says, you have a responsibility that when you come to church and you're taught the word of God, you're to sow financially to keep that word going out and getting out to more people. Let me share what, when the Lord was teaching me all this, let me share what the Lord spoke to me personally about this. And I could see it applies to all of us. He said, Larry, if you go to church and you're taught the word of God, and you don't sow into that word, you're being selfish. Well, I knew that selfishness is not a fruit of the Spirit. I don't want to be a selfish person. So he said, when you're taught the word of God and you don't sow, in essence, what you are saying is, I just want that word for me. I don't care if it gets to anybody else. He said, but when you sow into that word, you're helping establish the place and all so that the word can get to you, but that it can get to many others as well. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's so good. And that just encouraged me more that I'd heard from the Lord many, many years before when the pastor got up and challenged us, don't let an offering bucket go by without putting something in. I saw, okay, Lord, that's you. That's by your Spirit. Now I've got verses of Scripture to prove it out. That this is thus saith the Lord, not just a pastor that got up and wants more money in his congregation or something. So he says, let him who is taught the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. And by the way, money, I was teaching my staff here not long ago, just so you know, money is the median that pays bills. So in other words, when it says all good things, the primary source of that is going to be you and I sowing finance. But then it lets us know we can get creative in our giving above the money we give. Meaning this, let's say you own an automobile business. And I'm using this one because I know one church that somebody in their church, he owned this automotive business. And so anytime their pastor needed tires, oil change, tune-up, whatever, they made sure that they went and got the pastor's cars, not just the one car, his wife's car, whatever, and take it to their shop and do whatever it did and never charge the pastor. Well, what are you doing? You're sowing in all good things. You're not only putting your money, your tithes and offerings in, but you're always also being creative in your giving. You see what I'm saying? There was a guy that owned a Ford Lincoln dealership years ago when Liz and I first started our ministry, And the manager of the business was a friend of ours and a partner of our ministry. And he went to the owner, who was a good Baptist brother, and he said, you know, there's this preacher, Dr. Larry Hutton. He travels all over the nation on the road 9 months out of 12 of the year. And I'd really like to give him a new car to drive and not charge him, you know, like we do demos for our employees. Let him drive it for a while. When it gets to a certain mileage, he can turn it back in. We can give him another one. I didn't even have to pray about that. He came to me and said, that'd be okay. I said, I don't even have to pray about that. And so the Baptist owner agreed. He said, well, yeah, let's do that. So they sewed a brand new Lincoln Town Car into our life. We drove it for like 6 months. And then, you know, because we're driving all over the nation at that time, churches did back then, they didn't pay for your airfares or anything like that. So, you know, and airfares were expensive. And so we drove everywhere. So we put so many miles on it, turn it in, and they'd give us another new one. Did that for a number of years until we had the money of our own to buy our own big, beautiful conversion van. Since we were traveling on the road all the time, we bought that. But this is what the owner of the dealership told the manager, who was our partner. And then he told us. The owner said, you know what? It's amazing. Every time Dr. Hutton turns in that used Lincoln that they've driven for 6 months, you know, it has 6, 7, 8, 9,000 miles on it, whatever. Every time he turns it in, we put it on the used car lot. It's the first car to sell on the used car lot. And we make more money on that car than we do on any newer used car. Why? Because you're sowing into the gospel. You're honoring the gift, first of all, your pastor. You're honoring that, but you're sowing into the gospel, helping get the word of God out. So again, that was creative giving, but I bring up that because, you know, giving me the car didn't pay the salary of my employees, didn't pay the airtime for the TV bill. Didn't pay, you understand? In other words, when you and I give money and the church gets the electric bill, your volunteering isn't going to pay that. It's the money. So that's why we always tithe and give. But then if we are in a position where, you know, I have this skill that I could use for the church, you know, I'm an IT person or I'm this, or, you know, I'm a good custodian, or I want to help clean the church, whatever. If you have skills, then you can even sow beyond their money, beyond your money, which is even then just adding up to your account for glory, praise God. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, so he says, don't get deceived about this. Then he makes this statement, whatsoever, whatsoever. Everybody say whatsoever. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, which means God's not the one that's going to be made fun of here. If you get deceived, you're the one that's going to be made fun of, not God. God's not the one being mocked. For whatsoever, I want you to circle that word. If you have an electronic Bible like me, do like mine. I underline it and highlight it and boldface it. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So does that sound like you're going to lose out by giving? Doesn't, does it? If you reap, then you're not going to have less money. So it sounds like to me, even though, you know, you can lean under your own understanding and think, man, if I put something in every time I go to church, then, well, maybe I shouldn't go to church. No, you're missing out. Or if I put something in every time I go to church, I'm going to have less. But wait a minute, God's saying this is a win-win situation here. Because whatever you sow, you're going to what? Reap. Now, I want you to see something very important about this verse. That word whatsoever, very interesting, and you're about to see this. The word whatsoever means, literally means this. It means when you go to church and you're taught the word, whether you put something in the offering or not, you're still going to sow something. That's what this word whatsoever means. You're literally going to sow, whether you sow into the gospel or not. You're still sowing. Oh, no, brother, I didn't put anything in the offering. Yeah, but let me show you that you still sowed. Now, this, remember, you always interpret scripture in context. Everybody say in context. All right, so what's the context? Okay, the context is whatever you sow, you're going to reap for. The very next verse, remember, it's not written in verses. For he that sows to his flesh. Okay, now he's actually starting in verse 8 to explain what he meant when he said whatsoever. Whatever you sow. And some people think, yeah, but I didn't sow. Well, yes, you did. You're going to find out you did, because the next verse says, after he says, whatever you sow, listen, if you sow to your flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. Okay, so wait a minute. There's two different reapings going on here. One from the flesh, one by the Spirit. God said, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. For, the word for means, here's my explanation. I want you to get revelation here. I want you to get understanding, because whether you give or whether you don't give, when you've been taught the word, you're still going to enter into sowing one way or another. So here's what he says. For he that sows to his flesh. Everybody look up here at me. Everybody look up here at me. He that sows to his flesh. So I didn't put an offering in. I heard the word, but I didn't put an offering in. What did I do? I sowed to my flesh. In other words, God looks at it this way. When I'm taught the word, if I don't sow into the word, the money that I was supposed to sow, I'm sowing to my flesh. Oh my goodness. And what does the flesh do with it? Corruption is what the King James says, corrupts it. I don't mean to be crude, but I'm going to make it real simple to understand. If you think, okay, but you know, if I give to the church today, I won't have enough money to go to the restaurant after the service, so I can't put something in right now, and so I'll save it. So what do? You pay for the food, which means you're sowing to your flesh, and the food goes in and comes out tomorrow. And that's your harvest. That's it. No multiplication process. No good measure, press down, shake it together, running over. You don't get any harvest. Are y'all getting this? He said, if I am taught the word and I don't bear my own invoice, my own burden, then I'm sowing to the flesh. The flesh corrupts the seed, which means my flesh has no ability to multiply the seed, which is why God's trying to get it into his kingdom, because the Holy Spirit knows how to do that. Man, this was so cool when God taught me this. I thought, God, all this. And then it made it fun when, even though Liz and I, you know, we were already tithing and we were already giving in the church building fund. We were stretched already. So, you know, to put extra in every time, and I was going to church at least 3 times a week, so it's going to be an extra $3 every week, which is an extra $12 a month above tithes, offerings, and partnerships. So we were already stretched, so now this is going to stretch us a little more. But you know what it did? It got us to put our faith in him instead of what we could do, instead of, well, here's what my paycheck tells me I can do. No, we decided we're going to stretch ourselves, because when you do, then you have to trust him, because you can't do it on your own. Glory to God. And so I got a hold of this. And so guess what happened? A few months down the line, man, more blessings started coming in. So we went from $1 every plate, you know, above our tithes and offerings and partnerships, $1. We went to $2 a plate. Well, that's $6 a week, $24 extra a month. And guess what we did after that? $3 every plate, then $5 every plate, and then $10 every plate, and then $20 every plate, and then $25. So we've just continued to move up. So I never put less than 25, 50, 100, whatever, every time I go to church now, because the blessings keep overwhelming us. You know what's so cool about that is Liz and I, because we stay full of the word, you have to stay full of the word to keep a pure heart. But when you stay full of the word, then when financial blessings come, the first thought isn't, what can I go buy? What can I get myself? What can I do for my... Your first thought is, where can I give? Lord, you're blessing us, Lord. You're just showing me how much you love me by blessing me. So show me somebody that I can bless today. Show me somebody I can sow into and help. Hallelujah. So he says, for he that sows to his flesh, which you could actually paraphrase it this way, for he that doesn't give into the gospel, but holds it back for himself, is sowing to his own flesh, and his flesh will corrupt the seed. But, watch this, he that sows to the Spirit. Now remember, the context is, let him who is taught the word communicate. So he's telling me, when I'm in church, and my pastor teaches me, and I give an offering that service, then God says, you're sowing to the Spirit. Oh, glory to God. That means I got the Holy Ghost involved in my seed now. This is now going to be a supernatural process taking place. It's not natural anymore. I've just entered the supernatural realm. And so he says, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. Everybody say reap. Now notice what it says we shall reap. Life. Everybody say life. Everlasting. Notice it does not say everlasting life. Because this verse is not talking about you going to heaven. It cannot be, because you tithing and you giving does not earn your way into heaven. Come on, we cannot buy our way into heaven. It's by grace that you're saved through faith. Amen. So it's by what Jesus paid for, and he used his blood, the ultimate sacrifice, to pay our ransom, and the debt's been paid. In full, right? Glory to God. So he says, you're going to reap. And then he says this, life everlasting. The word life is Zoe. It's the life of God. The word everlasting comes from a Greek word that means perpetual or perpetuating. So what's God saying? He's saying that when you sow into the church and you sow into the man or woman of God that's taught you, then the Holy Ghost is going to take the life of God, inject it into your finances, but it's going to be perpetuating. It's going to continue and continue. I mean, this is going to be better than the Energizer Bunny, baby. It's going to go on and on and on. He's going to perpetuate God's blessings into your finances. This is why I could take the Word of God onto the streets of New York City, Chicago, Miami, Florida, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Dallas, Texas, where I could take and find some poor person that's begging for food, you know, one of the legit ones, not one of the cons, because a lot of those cons on the side of the road are a whole lot richer than you are. But I could take a poor person off the street that doesn't have any money, and I can teach them word principles of giving, and if they do it, they'd give themselves out of poverty. They would not stay poor. Not if you do it God's way, because God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, shall he not make it good? Hath he not spoken it, shall it not come to pass? You absolutely better believe it will, because God said it. Amen? So I love this, that I take myself out of the equation when I sow that seed. I give into the gospel. And even though it may seem small, you remember the widow woman that threw in the two mites, right? Two mites, but it caught Jesus' attention. So if the Lord of the harvest has got our attention when you're just so small. But see, it's not according to what you don't have. So you know when you read that story in Luke 21 about the widow woman throwing in the two mites, she threw in everything. She threw in 100% of what she had, right? She could have thrown in 50%. That would have been more than most Christians. Come on. She could have thrown in one mite. That'd have been 50% of her income. But she didn't. So it's not according to what you don't have. In other words, when Pastor got up and received tithes and offerings for the church today, God didn't say, I want you to put $1,000 in if you only have $100 in your bank account. God doesn't tell you to write bounce checks. Amen. Now, he may challenge you to believe for $1,000 or believe for $10,000 or something to sow, but he'll never tell you to give what you don't have. But he'll challenge you to stretch yourself because he wants you to move from one level of glory to the next level of glory. He wants you to move from faith to faith, glory to glory. And that's what Liz and I have done. I remember the first time that God told Liz and I, we were actually in one of the Kenneth E. Hagin's meetings, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to put $1,000 in the offering. Well, we had it, or he would not have said it, but the only thing was that's all we had. We had just saved up $1,000 in our savings account, and we were our first year of traveling with the late Kenneth E. Hagin. We traveled 20 years with him and preached in many of his crusades and stuff, but this was just early on, and the Lord said to Liz and I sitting there on the front row, and he said, put $1,000 in tonight. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it out loud, but I just thought, but that's all I have. If I give $1,000, I'm broke. I have nothing. And so, you know, I'm arguing in my head with the Lord during the whole service because he spoke it even before the end of the service when an offering was received. And so I'm going back and forth. Man, I don't know. I can't put $1,000 in. I'll tell you what, Lord, I'll make a deal with you. Anybody ever done that? Come on, I'm not the only one. I know it's a lack of faith, but thank God for the mercy of God, you know. So I'm arguing back. Okay, Lord, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll put $1,000 in if you tell my wife. A few minutes later, she leans over to me, honey, God just told me to put $1,000. Okay. But I'm glad we did, because then we went up, and it wasn't long after that when we had $2,000 and we were able to put $2,000 in, except this time it wasn't all that we had in the bank. He doesn't always ask you to give everything you have, but he will stretch you, help you. He may tell you this week, do something you've never done before. You've never put more than a 20 in, put 30, put 50. You've never put more than 1,000 in, put 2,000. He may have you challenge you just to take you to the next level. But every time Liz and I would do that, it would happen. I remember the first time we gave 5,000. I remember the first time we gave 10. I remember when we gave that $10,000, I had always thought before that, you know, when you have a lot of money, it's a lot easier to give. Have you ever thought that? I just thought, well, of course, if you have a bunch, of course you can give. But you know, we had the 10,000 to give. We had more, quite a bit more than that. But when he gave us 10,000, I had to go through the same battles I did when he told me the first time to give 100. Because I'm thinking, 10,000, that could buy a bunch of airtime. That could pay a bunch of bills. That could pay some salaries at the employees. You know, that's what you're thinking. So I found out it didn't get any easier when he told us 20,000 and we just kept moving up. I'm still chasing Pastor Sarah. I haven't given 2 million yet, but I'm going to. You know, one of my best friends, he's given 1 million of his own personal money, not ministry money, but his personal money. So I know a couple people that have done it. Your pastor, my good friend, Dr. Mike Simons out of Fort Worth, Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth. So I know people have done that. I haven't done it yet, but I'm not far behind. I'm going to do it because my heart is to give. I want to reach more people. And that's why the blessings keep coming on Liz and I, is because we want to reach more people. In fact, y'all keep us in prayer, okay? Because it's looking like here very short time in the next few months. I mean, it may be 6 or 8 months, but I'm thinking a lot less than that. In the next few months, it looks like worldwide television is about to open up to us. And I'm talking like in this nation, like 90 major cities in this nation and satellite all over the world. And it looks like it's getting ready to open up. Some things are taking place. So you all be in prayer for us because I know I'm called to the body of Christ. And I know that I can only be at one place at one time. But, you know, when I'm on television, I can be all over the world at the same time I'm here in Nanuet at RLCC preaching to you. So the money, the dollar can do a whole lot for us when we're able to do that. Can I hear a big amen? So God says, let him who is taught the word communicate, but don't get deceived about it, because God's not the one that's going to be made fun of. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to yourself by not giving to the gospel, then you're going to just corrupt the seed. But if you sow to the Spirit, then God's Spirit's going to start perpetuating the life of God into your finances. And does verse 9 start with the word and? Huh? Does verse 9 start with the word and? And me is a conjunction, means he's still talking about the same thing. And don't get weary in doing this. Now, you know what this proves to me? This proves to me you're not going to get 100-fold return on every seed you sow. Do I believe for that? I believe for that and more every seed I sow. But this proves to me that I'm not going to get 100-fold, because listen, God would not tell you, don't get weary in what you've been doing. If you were getting 100-fold, which, by the way, look up the Hebrew and the Greek word of fold, it means times. No argument, just go with Bible, okay? The word Bible is what we go with, B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me, okay? And so the word fold means times, 100 times. If you were getting 100-fold on every seed you sowed, God would not have to say, now, you know, don't get weary. You'd be going, say what? Every time I put something in, I'm getting 100 times. So I put 1,000 in, I get 100 times. Then I put 10,000 in, I get 100 times. Then I put 100,000 in, I get 100 times. Then I put 1 million in, I get 100 times. Then I put 1 billion in, I put. Now, I'm not coming against 100-fold, because I preach 100-fold. I believe 100-fold. I believe, but I also believe 1,000-fold, because the scripture talks about 1,000 times more. So I believe in 1,000-fold, and I've received 1,000-fold, so I believe in it. But I also believe in, besides 1,000-fold and 100-fold, I also believe in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know what else I believe in? I also believe in all grace abounding to you, that you have all sufficiency in all things and can abound to every good work. So there's a lot of scriptures there that you have to believe. Don't just take one isolated verse and believe that for your financial return. Take them all. Believe the word of God. And I'm telling you what, when you obey the word of God, then he's going to keep taking you up and up and up, because you're going to be as smart as any farmer. Last year he planted 100 acres, but when he got the harvest back, he thought, man, I have enough seed to plant 200 next year. And then when he gets to 200 acres, he said, man, I got enough seed to plant 500 acres this year. You keep giving more, the more blessings that come to you. I think I've told this before, but if not, this bears repeating. Because we taught Rachel this principle of sowing and sowing, and let God be your source. Take yourself out of the equation. Just don't let your paycheck be your source. She kept sowing and sowing and sowing. And so we were in a state not far from here, as a matter of fact, and we did a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday night. Didn't do a Tuesday like we're doing here. But we did a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. And Rachel, she was 16, I think, 16 years old then. We were done with the meeting, and it was Tuesday morning. We're in the hotel packing up to go to the airport to fly back to Tulsa. And we get a phone call about 8 o'clock in the morning. We're packing, and it's a businessman that was at the three meetings. And he owns a roofing company, so he happened to be on the roof with some of his roofers that morning doing a roofing job. And all of a sudden, he heard a voice from heaven. And the voice said, go to that preacher's hotel and give his daughter some money. I said money. He actually told him an amount, but I didn't tell you the amount yet. So he calls us up an hour later, and he said, hey, is it okay if I come to your hotel before you leave for the airport? And I said, well, what's up? And he said, well, I gotta obey God. Is it okay that if I bring your daughter some money? I said, bring it. So he shows up. We go down to the lobby, me, Liz, and Rachel, and he says, Rachel, God told me to give you $5,000. Out of the blue. Out of a source that you would never even dreamt up in a million years, that God would speak to a roofer on a rooftop at 7 a.m. to stop this roofing and go to your hotel and bring you $5,000. And here's my point of this story. The first words out of Rachel's mouth, she turned to mommy and daddy. She said, mommy, daddy, guess what? We said, what? She said, when we get home, I get to give $500 to my church, tithe, and offering. I get to give more than most adults do. She was so excited about the opportunity to give more to God. It was her first thought. No wonder she got a house instant 50,000 equity. My goodness. When you have a heart like that, you're not going to stop the blessings of heaven. Can I hear a big amen? So don't get weary in well-doing. Friends, if every seed was producing 1,000 times, 100 times, or even good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, he would not have to tell you don't get weary. Which means this, he's telling me that giving into the gospel is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on. It's not putting your money in this slot, pulling this lever, and God's going to be like a big slot machine. Here it comes, multiplied. No, God's not a slot machine, and he's not your bellboy. We're not talking about using God here and his system to get wealth. Jesus already made us rich at the cross. Now, God has set down some principles for us to follow in order to humble ourselves and use our faith to receive the grace of God that's available. Come on. This has already been accomplished through the cross from what Jesus did there. Praise God. So don't get weary in well-doing. Everybody say well-doing. Interesting when I saw that, because well-doing is the same thing. You know, after you do that well-doing, it would be called well-done. Correct? Well-doing. So interesting. How many of you want to hear, well-done, thou good and faithful servant? Come on. How many of us, well-done, thou good? You don't want to hear, well, you're done. No, I want to hear well done. And now God's actually showing me in scripture, then in order to hear that, I've got to be faithful with money just as I'm faithful in other areas of my life. Because he's the one that wrote this. I didn't wrote this. He don't be weary in well doing, which he's telling me it's doing well when I'm giving into the gospel because the word's being taught. He said, don't get weary in doing this. Because, now look what he goes on to say. Here's the shouting ground. For in due season, we shall what? Reap if we don't faint. So how many of you got your shouting clothes on this morning? Let me see your shouting clothes. How many? Come on, some of y'all need to change clothes real quick. It's going to make you want to shout. So here's what's cool about this. Due season, the word due in the Greek language means one's own, O-N-E apostrophe S, one's own. In other words, like you have your Bible in your lap, one's own Bible, your own Bible. So God says, don't get weary in well-doing, for in your own, and then the next word, season, in the Greek means set time. set time. In your own set time, you're going to reap. In your own, well, what do you mean in my own set time? In other words, it's like a farmer. When a farmer goes out to plant, he plants seed and he walks away. And what did he do? He set a time for harvest. He's not walking away saying, you know, I have this much less seed. I'm this much poorer. You know what his mindset is? His mindset is, baby, when harvest time comes, I am going to have a good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It's going to be multiplied back to me. So he doesn't walk away sad that he had to make a temporary sacrifice by not eating the seed, but he got to plant the seed knowing he set his own time for harvest. And that's what God's saying right here. Every time we come to church and we're taught the word of God and we keep doing it, we're not going to get weary just because something doesn't look like it's happening. We're going to keep doing it because in due season, in your own set time, you shall reap. So every time I sow, I'm setting another appointment for harvest. And let me tell you, your seeds are incorruptible. So even ones back there that you may think, you know, but I spoke and I doubted and I got in unbelief and I probably killed the seed. No, that seed's just waiting for your words and your faith to mix with God's grace so that it can start flowing in harvest form to you. So don't you ever let any of your sowing go. All of it can come back, and it's coming back in these last days before Jesus comes, my friend. It's coming back in abundance. So let him who is taught. So I'm gonna take every opportunity because God said, I'm gonna reap. I shall. Didn't he say shall reap here? He said, induce your own set time, we shall reap. So he said this, don't get weary in doing it. But then he ended the statement, you shall reap if you what? Don't faint. What do you mean don't faint? In other words, if you don't back away from the word of God, you don't stop speaking the word of God. Because see, a fainted person, like if there was a person up here that had fainted and Pastor Ed got up and received the offering, you know, they're going to receive an offering for our ministry after we get done preaching here, give you guys an opportunity to sow for your harvest. And there's somebody fainted here. And then Pastor Ed, after everybody's got their offerings made out, they're all ready, then he has you make a confession. Do y'all do that around here? Of course you do. So he has you make a confession. But he noticed the person laying on the floor is not saying a thing. He's fainted. If you're fainted, you're not using faith. And without faith, it is to please God. So we're going to have to release faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the channel for the grace of God to flow. So we've got to believe and we've got to exercise our faith. But if you faint, it tells me your word level's gotten low. That's first of all what causes weariness. Don't be weary in well-doing. As soon as you ever find yourself thinking, man, I've been doing this and doing this and doing this and nothing happening, watch out, you're getting weary. And then when all of a sudden you make the decision to not do it, it won't hurt me this one Sunday not to put anything in. You know what you did? You fainted temporarily. And if you keep doing that, it's gone from fainted to passed out. And from passed out to dead. You know. No, you don't want to do that because God said you shall reap. And you know how we're going to reap, don't you? God told us how we're going to reap, all grace abounding to you, or good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? So we know God said you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He multiplies the seed sown, 2 Corinthians 9. So we know that God is going to bless us if we do what he says. And this is a real key right here is don't get weary and don't faint. So you got to keep your word level high. How many of you have my Heaven's Wealth Food CD? Let me see your hands. I know a few of you do. Yeah, a few of you do here. Looks like maybe 12, 13 or something. If you don't have that, that's one that I listen to regularly. Of course, I listen to the Heaven's Health Food. I know a lot of you have that one, the Heaven's Health Food. I listen to the wealth food a lot because there's two areas that the devil's going to continually attack, and that's why God addressed it through the Apostle John. Beloved, I pray above all things that you'd prosper and be in health. Prosper and be in health. Prosper financially and be in health physically. Why does God want us to have money and have health? Because without it, you're ineffective in the kingdom of God. If the devil can make you sick and lay you up in a hospital bed, and he can make you poor where you can't give to the church and can't give to missionaries, can't give to get the gospel out, then you're rendered ineffective in the gospel, in the kingdom of God. But if you can stay healthy so that you can go about and let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your heaven, and you have money so you can help your pastor and you help the TV preacher that you like and you help the missionaries overseas, you do that, guess what? You're a lot more effective because you can only be one place at one time, but your money can go dozens and even thousands of places at one time. So God says this. He says, don't get weary. For in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. Now let's close with verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Look at this word opportunity. Aren't you and I always looking for opportunity? My wife and I, we've made many investments through the years and bought and sold things. We're always looking for opportunity. One just presented itself recently, so we got new business. But I'm always looking for opportunity. But this word opportunity is not one that you set. In fact, this word opportunity is the same word as the previous verse for the word season. What did that word mean? Those of you that took notes, in due season. You remember what that meant? Set time, right? But this season, this set time is the one that God set back in verse 6, the whole context. He said, let him that is taught the word. So in other words, I'm given an opportunity. And then he says here, so in verse 10, he says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Well, this church is the household of faith. The Apostle Paul put it this way, if you believe you're supposed to get God's word in your heart and in your mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's what's preached out of RLCC. That's what's preached out of Larry Hutton Ministries. You know, in just a minute, Pastor Ed's going to give you guys an opportunity to sow into our ministry. Trust me and believe me, that's not why I preach this message. If that was the reason I preached this message, I'm trying to get you to give just because I'm preaching, I would have taught that the first time I came. Amen. And I've been here many times, and if they keep wanting me back, I'm coming back because we've got a relationship, and when we're family, praise God. Amen. And so I taught this because I want this to work for you when I leave. I want it to work next week, and I want it to work next week, and I want it to work next week, and then opportunities in the natural realm, investments, buying and selling and hook up with certain people and becoming part of business teams and stuff and whatever. That becomes available when we're doing the things God's told us to do first. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to challenge you, man. I'm going to challenge you like my pastor did many years before I even understood what the scripture said about it. He said, don't ever let an offering bucket go without putting something in. And then I always tell people to do what you guys do here because many churches don't. I say, don't just put something in, but make sure you sow with your mouth. Because you can be a dropper and not a sower. You can let go of the tithe, you can let go of the offering and never sow because the sower sows the word. So if you're a sower, you got to speak the word of God out. So don't ever, and I'm talking about even if, I don't know if anybody here is a partner with our ministry, even if you're a partner with our ministry, a partner with our ministry, when you send it out, sow it. Don't just let it go and send it. No, sow it, because otherwise it won't multiply. Money's not a seed without the word of God sown. And if you don't believe it, go plant a $100 bill in your backyard. See if you get a $100 bill for a tree. No, you know why? Because money is not seed. A car, go sow a car without sowing the word of God. You won't get a car in return. I've seen many Bible school students sow a car and walk the rest of their year. Hitchhike the rest of the time. Never get a car. I've seen people, I'm going to sow a suit because I need suits. A suit's not seed. Not unless you sow the word of God. But the word is the seed. Amen. That may help some of y'all understand some things here, you know. Praise God, because God said we need to sow, but money in and of itself is not seed. The word is the seed. Amen. So, you know, I've never sown a pair of socks, but I've gotten socks. I've never sown some things, but yet I've got lots of those things. But you know what God does a lot of times? He gives me the money for those things. I've sown, and then God blesses me so I can buy what I want. Now, I've sown a lot of cars. My wife and I have given and bought a lot of cars for people. But nobody's ever bought me one. But you know what? He's always blessed us with the money so we have the cash to go pay for it. We don't have to take a loan out on one. See what I'm saying? So we want to make sure that we're obeying the word of God. So start where you're at. If you have to do like me and Liz did, you know, just a dollar in every offering buck, every time I come to church, above my tithe. Now, if I have my tithe, I'll put it in, or maybe my special offering for the month or whatever, or a special offering Pastor Ed or Sarah or Greg has told you about. But above that, every time you come, have something to put in. And then as you see just little increases come, increase your giving. Just keep increasing. Just keep showing God, God, if you keep increasing me, I'm going to keep increasing the kingdom of God. And the more you do that, the more it's going to come. And I'm telling you what, there's a transfer of wealth coming in these last days to the believers. So get ready, baby, because it's going to come in. Praise God. And while you guys are praying for me, pray about becoming a partner of our ministry. No pressure whatsoever, by the way, because the only thing the Lord told me, give people an opportunity to hook up with you. If they believe in what you preach, believe in you, and want to help you monthly, then give them that opportunity so there's absolutely no pressure at all. But if you'd like to be, you feel like, you know what, brother, I really feel like I want to help you get this message out and buy airtime and reach the world and stuff, then pray about becoming a partner. You can pick up partner cards back there at the resource table, or you can go to our website. You can download our app on Android or iPhone, whatever we have, an Larry Hutt Ministry app. You can watch our television program there. You can listen to free stuff there, free messages, different things as well. But pray about becoming a partner, because we just feel like we're getting ready to launch worldwide. And I'm telling you what, we're going to reach millions and tens of millions of souls. And I'm excited about it. Praise God. Because you know what? Even on our local TV program in Dallas, I noticed we were going into the living rooms of people that don't go to church. I noticed we were going into the bedrooms of people that lived in the gated communities that wouldn't go to church, but they'd watch. And all of a sudden, one day, this lady that's in great depression, wanting to commit suicide, sees Dr. Hutton preaching that Jesus, when he went to the cross, he bore your depression, and he bore your hopelessness, and he bore your guilt and your shame, and he replaced it with peace and joy. If you want to meet him, his name is Jesus, and she got her life changed because of money buying airtime. We have to wake up, folks. You know, we can have churches of 20,000 all over the country. Every church in this whole nation could be 20,000 members, and we're still going to have tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people not reached. So we got to be willing to go out and however it takes to get out there and get them. Did y'all enjoy this morning?